You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, comrades. I'm Roberto.
And I'm Brendan. And together, we're the hosts of Czar Power.
Our friends from the Censorship Bureau have asked us to investigate the Queen's podcast due to their infractions on using curse words on their show.
If you don't like cursing, then disclaimer, this show isn't for you. Roberto, begin the investigation.
Oh, hello, friends. Yes, we're investigating. Oh, you're paying the fine. This fine will ensure that we write a fantastic report that says you, in fact, do not swear on your show to the Bureau. Okay, Brendan, I have finished our investigation, and the Queen's podcast has no infractions. May you tell their audience about us.
If you like the Queen's podcast, you may like Czar Power, where we rank the Russian rulers from Rurik to Putin. The only lady we've covered so far is Olga of Kyiv, and as of now, she's the leading favorite, so check us out. Tsar is spelled T-S-A-R. But beware, if you hear a knock on the door, the KGB may make your stay a bit more permanent.
Hi, this is Katie.
And this is Nathan.
And you're listening to Queen's Podcast, the show about badass women in history. Nathan.
Katie. That was not how I sing.
So hello. Sorry, hello, sir. That was beautiful. Nathan, we are heading back to Mother Russia with this episode.
I am so excited about this one.
This was a lot of fun. So, Nathan, tell us who we're talking about today.
So, today we are talking about Matilda Shishkinska.
Yes, she was a Russian prima ballerina, a socialite, and a mistress of the last Tsar of Russia.
Yes.
Nathan, tell the listeners about this cocktail. Heads up, if you're a Patreon supporter, you already have the recipe. But for the rest of us, what is this?
It is called the Sugar Plum Fairy. It is a Nathan original. So what I did is I took two plums, chopped them up, put them in 2 cups of water with about a teaspoon and a half of stevia. I boiled that for about 30 minutes and then strained it. So then what that created for me was a plum simple syrup. So then from there, I took 1 ounce of that, 2 ounces of brandy, 3/4 ounce of Cointreau, and then 1/2 ounce of lemon juice. So you get a little bit of everything. You get the smoky flavor from the brandy. You get the sweet from the orange liqueur and from the plum. And then you get that little bit of acid and bitterness from the lemon. It is probably one of my favorite drinks.
So I am extending my dry January by a week because I cheated in January. So I'm, again, not drinking today, but I am really jealous that you, because this sounds amazing. So will you promise me whenever I finish this extra week of dry January, you'll make it for me again?
Absolutely.
I love it. Okay. So before we get started, as usual, we have our Patreon shout out. Hoo-hoo-hoo.
Whoop-whoop.
So first off, thank you to our Patreon supporters, Eden, Lizzie, Jasper, Carla, Alex, and Maya.
Also, shout out to Erica, Corina, Jessica, Alyssa, Emily, and a happy 18th birthday to listener Hannah. Shame on you for listening to this. You're a pre-18.
Yeah, but now that she's legal. Happy fucking birthday, Hannah. And obviously, thank you to all of our listeners and all of our supporters and everybody. And I hope y'all enjoy this episode. Okay, Nathan, tell us about the early years of our next queen.
So, Matilda Felix Sonova. Okay, guys.
We're going to try with these Russians, these Russian names.
Just
okay?
A disclaimer. They make it harder and harder the more and more I get intoxicated. So, Matilda Felixanovna Shazinska, yes, I got it, was born August 31st, 1872 in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Before we can really understand Matilda Shazinska, we do need to learn a little bit about the backstory of her family, because her dad is actually Polish. He was born in Warsaw, Poland. His name is Felix. That's why her middle name, or, you know, in Russia, mm-hmm. they have that tradition where your father's name becomes one of your names. So his name is Felix. That's the Felixanovna of it all. He was from a huge dance family in Poland. So that he was kind of a big deal in Poland and his family as well.
And when her dad was a young man, he was invited to come dance in the Imperial Dance Company in Russia, which, I mean, he jumped right on that.
He just jumped right on. Just like he leapt. What is that ballerina leap? He did one of those.
A grand jeté.
He did a grand jeté into St. Petersburg.
So when he got to Russia, he met a retired ballerina named Julia. And they ended up having four children together. And their youngest was Matilda.
Yeah. Matilda would have been really connected to her Polish roots. I think I even read that she was actually raised Roman Catholic, whereas most people in Russia are Russian Orthodoxy. Because Poland is apparently a really Catholic nation still to this day. Her dad was a bit of a hometown hero, so he brought his kids back to Warsaw pretty regularly to kind of give them a taste of how he grew up. And it seems, by all accounts, I know a lot of times on this show we talk about poor little rich girls that are neglected or have asshole dads or absentee moms. That is not the case here. It seems like a pretty happy childhood.
Yeah, she grew up around dancers and actors and was constantly in theater. And when she was 8 years old, she herself entered the Imperial Theater School, which super bougie. Mm-hmm. And so for the next 10 years, school and dance were her life. And all we know about her is basically that during that time. So
yeah, from 8 to 18, all we know is that she danced, and she danced.
Yeah, and something to really note here, though, is that dance and ballet is a big fucking deal in Russia. Like, Tchaikovsky. Ever heard of him? You know, all of that is very... Balanchine. All of that is very inspired by Russian ballet.
Yeah.
So if you're a dancer and you're in middle or high society, it's a big, big deal.
Yeah, like, ballet was, I don't know, invented in like France and Italy. But in the 18th century, Russia just kind of went, and we're taking that. That is ours now. So even though it was like started in France, ballet sounds like a French word. By this time in history, Russia was where you wanted to be if you wanted a career in dance, really. So now let's fast forward about 10 years since nothing really happens. The year is 1890. Matilda's 18. And she's graduating from the Imperial Theater. And their graduation night was like this whole fucking to-do. For graduation each year, they would put on this show. And the royal family attended it. Can you imagine how stressful that would be? Like, your graduation is in front of the fucking emperor and empress and their family.
Yeah, don't trip and fall, please. That would be very, very, ooh. That's a term. That is a term.
Yes, absolutely. If you're not a thespian, you don't get it. But yeah, this was also the way that they were like introduced in to Russian society, to the nobility, because, you know, nobility, high society, and theater and ballet specifically was very connected.
Yeah, and after the performance, Matilda and the other in the graduating class were invited to come have dinner with the imperial family.
NBD.
And Yeah, right. And the Tsar, guy named Alexander III, Tsar thought Matilda was just the best.
The bee's knees.
Yeah. He told her that night of her graduation that she would be the glory and adornment of the Russian ballet.
Okay. Hell.
Yeah, right.
Fuck. Talk about a confidence boost. I mean, right?
Right.
And so then he's like, I want you to meet somebody. And the Tsar, which if this is your first episode that you've been listening to for, that takes place in Russia, Tsar means king. It comes from Caesar. Anyway, the Tsar is like, I need you to meet my son, Nicholas. So he's arranging like a meet cute because he's thinking if his son, Nicholas is very shy. He's thinking maybe if he gets some ballerina business, he'll come out of his shell a little bit.
Is that what we're calling
ballerina
it now?
Ballerina business. Yes.
Does she grand plié on his eggplant? Sorry. I had to. There may be a couple of other ballet references.
That's why we love you.
Yeah. So Matilda was 18 and Tsar Nicholas was 22. So that's not a super weird age gap.
And they start crushing on each other immediately.
Yeah, they hit it off right away. And though there was no like sexy time for quite a while, over the next few months, there was a lot of flirtation.
Matilda wrote in her memoir about how that summer the imperial family would come to see just every performance at the Marinsky Ballet Company, which is where she immediately got a job out of college. Also, it was like, that was the best case scenario where the Marinsky Ballet Company is where everybody wanted to go work. Imperial family is there like every weekend, basically. And she wrote in her memoir that she would peek out behind the curtain. She'd see Nicholas and get all flustered and get butterflies in her stomach. And then Nicholas would see her and start blushing. It's all very...
Oh, young love.
Yes, it's very, very cute.
Quick recap about Tsarevich Nicholas. We've met him before on our Alexandra Fyodorovna episode, but he wasn't that young just yet.
Yeah.
Nicholas is the son and heir to Alexander, but he's really not that fit to be heir.
Yeah.
So not a good fit.
If you haven't listened to it in a while, maybe go back and listen to our Alexandra Fyodorovna episode after this. But spoiler alert, being Tsar wasn't great for him. He is sweet. He is shy. His dad at one point says of him, like, he has the heart and soul of a poet, not a king.
Ooh. That's kind of a burn.
I know. So at this point, yeah, he's meek, he's shy, he doesn't have any experience with the ladies, so he's almost certainly a virgin. We seriously doubt Matilda had any boyfriends before this either, so they're both inexperienced and puppy love, and also he is handsome and sweet and adorable, and Matilda's just a little smitten kitten.
Oh, I love this meow. Yeah. So there was one really cute story from her memoir where after a performance, Nikki came to chat with her. So then after that, she needed to go get changed. So she was kind of running back to her dressing room and then smack, she ran into the emperor, who then laughed and was like, hey, you're blushing. Have you been flirting with my son again? And then he winks at her. So OMG, so adorable.
They are precious. Nicholas has journal entries from this time, too, in which he calls her the code name Little K, which I love.
Okay, yeah. Not to be confused with Special K. Those are different.
No, different.
Very different terms.
Whole different thing. But he would write in his journal, like it seems like his journal entries weren't super, super detailed. So it'd just be like, July 30th, gossiped with Little K. August 1st, had lunch with Little K, said goodbye to Little K.
So very generic.
But still, I mean, he does mention her.
So then one day after like a year, Matilda's at home. And at this point, she's living with her parents, sharing a room with her sister. And then one night, her parents are like, hey, the Tsarevich is here.
Tsarevich is here? Like, to meet us.
So the heir to the throne of Russia is just sitting in her parents' living room and just sipping the tea and just talking shit with her.
Like, what did they do? Did, like, the family sit down and, like, play like card games and drink tea with the Tsarevich. Like,
I know, that would have been awkward. So the rain in Spain, does it fall mainly on the plain?
Like, so you're gonna be king, right? Yeah, it just seems so bizarre. And again, from her memoirs, which you can find, her memoir is published in full for free online. So if you want like some nitty gritty details about all this stuff, I'll link it in the show notes. But it sounds like Nikki, as she calls him, was just the absolute perfect little gentleman. Like, he was so sweet to her parents. He would bring her flowers. He wrote her love letters. He'd bring her parents gifts. Like, it's very cute, isn't it?
It is. And now, Matilda knew that if they ever did have a relationship, quote unquote, it wouldn't be a relationship that ended in marriage.
Right.
You know, she was young. She's full of dreams, but she's not stupid, because there's a lot of different ballerinas in her company, and they're all having affairs with men of nobility. So they're usually with grand dukes and princes, and none of those relationships ever really ended in marriage. So Matilda would have been very, very aware of that reality.
I mean, she knows that he's the heir to the throne. In Russia at the time, there was actually a rule in the royal family that if you didn't marry somebody from the nobility, like somebody that was a duke or higher, basically,'s kid, your kids couldn't inherit the throne. So there was no chance that she was ever going to marry the prince. But finally, one day, Nicholas was like, okay, your family is great. This has gone on for a while. I think everybody trusts me, but I want to hang out with you alone.
Ooh, bow chicka wow wow.
Bone down. So he buys her a villa for her to move into.
Okay, where can I send? I mean, Nicholas is a hottie patati, and you're going to buy me a villa and take me to Bonetown? Sign me up.
We talked about this a lot in the Alexander Fyodorovna episode, because there's a lot of pictures of him. He was super cute.
Yeah, like, he's a stunner.
Not a great king, but a very handsome man.
Yes.
But yeah, so he buys her a villa, and yeah, they finally get some alone time, and ladies and gentlemen, get ready for business, or something like that. We're open for business. There we go.
Yeah, and by open for business, we mean her legs were open for business.
Yes. And the business was his dick.
Girl. So Dad Felix hated this. He told her, look, he's not going to marry you. You know that, right? And she was like, duh, but I don't care. She's 19. She's never been in a relationship. She's naive. And a prince just bought her a villa, honey.
A villa.
So she's moving into her little love pad, and Papa don't preach, keeping the villa.
Made up my mind, and I'm keeping my villa. Yes. So, while she's got little heart emojis in her eyes, I think that's a good time to take a real quick break, top off our drinks, and then we'll come back and spill the rest of this royal tea.
Yes.
Hello, everyone. It's Takuya here.
And I'm Gabby.
And we are the hosts of History of Everything, a podcast which you can probably guess by the name is, well, I mean, it's about everything. Do you want to know why people thought potatoes were evil and would give you syphilis? Are you curious about all the stories of the terrible and stupid ways that people have kicked the bucket over the years? Do you want to hear tales about all of the different badasses of history and the lives that they had brought to life? Well, if so, then look no further. History of Everything is just the right podcast for you. It's available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Join us for some fun and just see how weird and wacky history can be.
I'm Helena Bonham Carter, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Secret Heroes, a new series of rarely heard tales from World War II.
They had no idea that she was Britain's top female codebreaker.
We'll hear of daring risk takers.
What she was offering to do was to ski in over the high Carpathian mountains.
Of course it was dangerous, but danger was his friend.
Subscribe to History's Secret Heroes wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back, darling.
Yes. And now little Kay and Nikki, can finally have some alone time to do some pliés on that eggplant.
Yes, grand pliés.
Grand pliés.
Something else we should mention is that during this time, Matilda did a decent amount of social climbing. People were gossiping, and gossiping got people's seats in the theater, in the ballet, and they wanted to see the Tsarevich's mistress. Because of this, she was getting more and more roles. But she was very talented, too. People loved to see her dance. But also the fact that she was fucking the air had its draw, too. So she was rubbing shoulders with the right people and getting, her career was really taking off, too.
Yeah, I'm loving this form of entertainment much more than the medieval form of entertainment of going to public executions. You actually went to the ballet to see
the, ballet.
The
no
mistress
one died,
of the king.
Unless something went really bad. Nine times out of ten, no one died at the Russian ballet.
Probably a little more than nine times out of ten, I would hope. So for 2 years, little Kay just lived her little dream. And from all accounts, it appears her little prince was just head over heels in love with her. And she was in love with him. And they had a pretty open affair for like the next 2 years.
Yeah. Then in 1893... 3 years after first meeting and first, like, crushing and everything, Nicholas mentions to her, like, hey, I'm going to this wedding in London for a cousin's wedding. And while I'm there, I'm going to see my cousin Alice, and I'm probably going to have to propose to her while I'm there. And he made it sound like, oh, you know, it's just this dynastic marriage. It's something I have to do. Well, he very much played down the importance of this relationship to him, to his little Kay. Or at least that's the way she's reported it in her memoirs.
Which we think was probably just a nice lie to her. Every other thing you read about Nicholas and his eventual wife, Alexandra, is that he was head over heels in love with her from the moment he met her.
When they were kids.
Yeah, years before he'd ever proposed. His journals say he's in love with his cousin, Alexandra, or Alice, is what sometimes she was called. All his friends and family say he's always been in love with her. But literally, what is he supposed to do with his mistress? What is he supposed to tell her? Like, you know, he's not exactly the experienced guy in relationships, so he's just trying to play it cool.
Matilda went into a bit of a panic, realizing that the end of their relationship was probably coming. She always knew that, you know, they couldn't get married, but she probably hoped to have a few more years. They were still pretty young. After this, Nicholas slowly started to distance himself from her. That just broke her poor little Kay heart.
Yeah. And finally, in 1894, 3 years after their affair began, Nikki's engagement was announced to Alexandra. And after that, that's when there was no more sleeping with Matilda ever again.
No more grand pliés on the eggplant.
Nope. No more grand pliés. Nope.
I mean, we can't be super mad at that. Nicholas came to her house. He didn't ghost her. He came to her house and, like, explained to her, like, hey, I don't want to start a marriage being unfaithful. I intend to be a faithful husband. I don't intend to keep a mistress. And I want to be fair to you, but I want to be fair to her. So this is over. Which, like, I can't be mad at that. Can you be mad at that?
I respect. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of rich men back then would have kept their side of ballerina, you know, their little piece on the side, and married the princess. But he's not a bad guy, just a bad king.
There you go. But Katie, wait a second. Did she get to keep the villa?
She's keeping the villa.
Ooh, she's gonna keep the villa. Ooh.
And who's gonna pay the bills?
Nicholas.
So, I mean, she's brokenhearted, but she's got a house she's not paying for the rest of her life. So,
right after this, things started happening pretty quickly in Russian nobility. The old Tsar died. Nicholas was then moved up to be the new Tsar. Then he was married.
Right. It happened like bam, bam, bam. Like the engagement, the death, the coronation. It just really happened really quick. Because of the engagement and the marriage, a lot of people were celebrating in the country. I mean, they were also mourning because the one Tsar died, but they got like They got like morning breaks to celebrate the marriage. It's in all the papers and it's all everyone is talking about. And can you imagine going through a breakup where you're like legitimately brokenhearted and you have to see your ex smiling with his new boo on a front page of every single newspaper for months?
Yeah, that would be quite the sting.
That would be rough. I do not envy her here, even though she does have a villa that a prince is paying for, or Czar now is paying for. And all of her co-workers at the ballet knew that she had been dumped and the man that she loved was now marrying someone else. So everyone was kind of like looking at her with pity, which I would hate. Oh, could you imagine like just knowing that when you leave the room, everyone's talking about you?
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
So Nicky asked his cousin Grand Duke Sergei to check in on Matilda from time to time.
Yeah.
So she and Sergei already knew each other from all the parties and dinners over the last 3 years, and they had always been friends. So this was a really nice gesture, except that Sergei immediately fell head over heels in love with Matilda.
I mean, it sounds like everybody's fallen in love with her. I mean, she's beautiful.
She is beautiful.
Oh my God. We'll post plenty of pictures of her on our socials. Follow us on Instagram if you want to see some, because she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Matilda did not love Sergei back. She was probably pretty fucked up emotionally. I mean, going through your first breakup when you're still like in love with the person, she probably needed therapy, you know? Like,
yeah.
Sergei was very sweet and he kind of looked like Nicholas and they were first cousins. What she viewed as the most important thing, though, like she went into like, I need to focus on my career. Being with him was going to keep her moving in the right circles for her to career to move forward. And she didn't dislike Sergei, like you said. They were friends. She was like, I like him enough. Maybe it'll grow to love. It's going to keep my career moving forward. Then they did. So they did start a physical relationship pretty soon, which was probably way sooner than she was emotionally ready for. But here we are.
So let's meet this new boyfriend, shall we?
Yes.
Grand Duke Sergei Mykolaevich was a first cousin once removed of Tsar Nicholas. So Sergei would have been about 25 and Matilda was about 22. So nice.
Yeah.
He was raised by a very wealthy but horribly unaffectionate family.
Oh, his parents did not like him. His parents enrolled him in the military at 2 weeks old.
Excuse me, what?
2 weeks old. Babies don't need guns. Babies don't need jobs. Okay. Babies don't need guns. Babies don't babies need don't military need ranks. Babies don't need any of these things. But somehow, even though he was emotionally neglected as a child, he did grow up to be a pretty sweet guy. He was thirsty for love. And so I think Matilda was probably thirsty for love too. Like it just kind of... it worked.
Yeah. Also, he was very good looking. Mm-hmm. Blonde, blue eyes, 6'3", very good shape. Look, what we're getting at is that Matilda could have done a whole lot worse with this rebound guy. Like, way worse. We've seen, like, a 22-year-old marrying a 50-something-year-old. Mm-hmm. So we are very happy about
this. Doing fine.
So something else she probably really liked about Sergei was he was the president of the Imperial Theater Society.
How convenient!
Gave a lot of funding to theaters, ballets, operas all throughout Russia. So Matilda's career, which had always been promising, really took off after the relationship with Sergei started.
Also, like, yeah, she danced the ballet, but like when her career was still at this point, she was a lot of times a background dancer in the operas as well. So he got her more and more parts. So she just got more and more exposure. The year after they started dating, Matilda was awarded the title of Prima Ballerina.
Oh, yes.
Yes. That is really, as a dancer, I mean, it's like the highest you can shoot for, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the same thing goes for an opera. Like you have the prima donna, who's the lead female singer. Yeah. So whenever you're the prima, it's the first, the lead. Essentially,
this was fucking huge. So she is at the top of her game. However, not everyone thought that she should have this title.
Yeah, not that she wasn't good.
Right.
Not at all. She was a great dancer. She was the first ballet dancer to really make the famous move in Swan Lake, which they actually still use to this day, she did 32 fouettés in a row, which if you're not a dancer, that's whenever they do the spins with like one of their legs out and they just keep spinning and spinning,
the pirouette.
spinning and spinning.
Over and over.
Yeah. Talk about getting dizzy. Don't be hungover while doing that.
I couldn't do it stone cold sober, Nathan.
I know, right?
I Googled it. Yeah. Cause like you said, it's still a part of Swan Lake where they do the 32 fouettés, which means to whip in French.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, it's still a part of it. So it's easy to find people doing it on YouTube. It made me dizzy just watching it. Like, that is a lot of, that's a lot of spinning.
And for her being the first one to do it back in the day, people in the theater were like, what the fuck did she just do?
Like, honestly, it was a huge deal. And yeah, hashtag first. So what we're getting at is she was a good dancer. But a lot of people thought she got this appointment because of her connections with the royal family, which might be a fair assumption.
Yeah, it is.
She was not afraid to call in favors with the royal family when she needed to. So, I mean, yeah, it's probably a mix of talent and connections. But isn't that most people in show business?
Yes, it is. I mean, 100%.
But now she had name recognition. And so the theaters were, people were really lining up to see the scandalous royal mistress who has been with the czar, who has been with this grand duke, head of the military dude. And on top of it, she could make you dizzy with all the spinning in a good way. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. She had an amazing career. She danced in all sorts of famous ballets. She even went back to Poland and danced with her dad for a while.
How cool is that? Because her and her dad were very, very close. She wrote in her memoirs, she was like, which I thought this was kind of rude. She was like, you know, since I'm his favorite daughter, this was really special for him.
Oh my gosh. So she even got to travel to London, Paris, Denmark, all over the place. She got to dance for all kinds of important people when they came through Russia. So we're talking kings,
yes,
queens, dukes,
yes,
prime ministers,
oh my gosh,
presidents,
so important.
You name it.
Yeah. When people came to Russia on diplomatic meetings, it was like, yeah, and now we're going to take you to the ballet to see the famous little K. Though I guess no one was calling her that anymore. She was rising to fame in her own right, but she was still a bit obsessed with Nicky. Every time she'd see him, she'd go home and write in her journal about, like, he nodded at me. He still thinks about me. And, like, maybe he did. Maybe, to me, it read as someone who's just kind of still not past it, which made me a little sad for her.
For sure.
Like, I think maybe the relationship meant a lot more to her than it did to him.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he did, like, nod at her in, like, a certain way that, like, was, she knew meant something more than a nod. I don't know. I don't, things were so rigid in, like, Imperial Russia that, like, maybe we're not getting the significance of that, you know?
I think things are still pretty rigid in Russia.
You're not wrong.
So let's fast forward to the turn of the century.
Ooh.
It's 1900, and Matilda has been dancing professionally for 10 years now. And she decided, you know what? I need to celebrate my career.
Yes.
So she wanted a benefit show. Love this.
This is so extra. Because, like, what benefit shows usually were to signify someone's retirement. So a dancer would perform all their famous pieces. It was like a celebration of their career. Everybody would come. They would get flowers and gifts from the imperial family. And then afterwards, they'd have a big party in that dancer's name. And then the dancer would retire.
So Matilda went to the board and was like, you know, I want to celebrate my 10 years by having this benefit. And they're like, OMG, honey, baby girl, are you retiring? And she's like, no. What made you think that? I just want a party.
I just want flowers. Like, I want gifts from the imperial family. No.
So she was told no. So she ended up speaking to their manager, aka her boyfriend.
The guy that she was sleeping with.
Yeah. Long story short, she ended up getting her 10-year benefit show without having to retire.
I fucking love that. It was a huge party. She received 93 bouquets of roses. 93 bouquets.
Very precise.
And like I said, at these benefit shows, they would get a gift from the imperial family. And so Sergei gave her this brooch, and she was like, this is from Nikki and Alexandra. And the empress told me she picked it out herself and wanted me to give it to you and send her best regards. And so, like, I kind of wonder if Sergei made that up.
Oh, just to kind of
make it seem even
over.
More special. Because, like, unless Alexandra didn't know about Nicholas's relationship with her, why would she be buying Matilda a brooch handpicked out herself, you know?
Yeah, no, that does make sense.
Anyway, speculation.
A few nights later, she held a small dinner party at her home to celebrate. So she writes in her memoir, this is the night that changed my life, which is very Nathan to say. Yeah, very dramatic. So Sergei invited a few of his cousins that Matilda had met before. And now, hold on to your butts, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Grand Duke Andre has entered the chat.
From the moment Matilda saw Grand Duke Andre Vladimirovich, she was like, who the fuck is that fine piece of ass? So let's meet Andre. Grand Duke Andre, another one of the Tsar's first cousins, is 7 years younger than Matilda. So that's a change. The other guys have been older than her. Not by much.
I love this. I love this. She's just moving through this family like it's nobody's business. And
right.
I love it.
Right.
Turning the page. Next.
Next. Yes. Like, what Grand Duke can I get in my bed next? Love it. Andre was the youngest of four boys. And he was a mama's boy. His mother is his best friend. Nathan, I actually think we should cover his mom on Patreon.
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
So unlike Sergei, Andre was raised in a very affectionate household. Obviously, he's a mama's boy.
Yeah.
So parents, very loving, family, very tight-knit. But unlike his cousin Sergei and Nicholas, Andre kind of didn't care about any of his royal duties. Like, Nicholas cared about him, and he just wasn't good at it.
Yeah.
Andre just didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to be in the military. He didn't care about meeting with diplomats. He's just not into politics. He likes art. He likes wine. He likes chilling, which hard saying.
Hey! Yeah, he is the youngest son of a youngest son or something like that. He's like, I'm never going to be czar. Why don't I just do the things I like? And one of the things he liked was Matilda. And Ooh. Matilda liked him very much as well. And it wasn't long before the two of them were sleeping together.
Oh, okay. So she broke up with Sergei.
Hard nope. Hard
oh.
nope. She continued.
Love this.
Yes. She continued to see Sergei, who was very, very protective of her. And was still like paying all her bills and everything. And she started a relationship with Andre. And this went on for 17 years.
What?
She was a mistress to both of these first cousins, who are both grand dukes in the imperial family. Both of the cousins knew about the affair. It made family reunions very awkward, but they made it work.
Oh, gosh. So in 1902, at the age of 30, Matilda has a baby boy. And the father was... Where's Maury Povich when you need him?
You are not the father. her son, they named her son Vladimir. And that's Andre's father's name. It was almost certainly actually Andre's son. But we just didn't have any real way of knowing. But Sergei was... Officially, she was only Sergei's mistress. Like, even though the whole family knew about the... sleeping with both of the Grand Dukes, it wasn't like an open thing. So Sergei was like, I know it's probably not my son, but I love you and I want to be a dad. And I think I'd be a good dad. And I'm going to support this child and I'm going to continue to support you. And what is she going to say? No. You know, like,
yeah, right.
Because it would have been a huge scandal if Matilda had been like to the world, like, actually, I have also been sleeping with the Tsar's other cousin, you know?
Yeah. So they call the little boy Vova, not to be confused with Volva.
Nope. Whole different word.
So they called the little boy Vova, and Matilda was so in love with him.
Yeah.
About 6 months after Vova's birth, she went back to work. But honestly, at this point, her star's starting to fade a little bit. There are new dancers. And I mean, in modern day terms, dancers' careers don't last that long at all.
Yeah.
You're lucky to make it 10 years because of just the sheer
mortality
that you take on your body. Yeah. Your knees are screwed. Your ankles are screwed. Everything hurts. So it makes sense. I mean, it sucks, but after 13 years of being on the stage, it's probably about time that Matilda's star starts to fade so somebody else can move up, right?
Yeah, and if you're interested in, like, the politics of the dance theater, the company, and everything, she does go into it in more detail in her memoir. At first, Matilda did not go gracefully. So there's a story about how there was this new dancer who was like the new it girl who would later go on to be the prima ballerina, and her name is Olga Preobrajenska. Nailed it. And so she was performing in this dance that Matilda thought she should have been cast in. Matilda was like, this was my part, this is bullshit that Olga got it. At a different scene in the show, there were chickens, and while Olga is performing, like, the ending number of this play, Matilda goes and lets all the fucking chickens out of the coop. Live theater.
Fuck? Oh my gosh.
Olga is, like, doing her performance, and all these chickens run on stage. I guess Matilda thought that Olga would just, like, die of embarrassment. And Olga just kept dancing. She just kept, and the crowd loved it. They were like, oh, good for her. Oh, she could dance through anything. So it kind of backfired on Matilda. It was absolute chaos.
Moral of the story, don't be a dick.
Yeah, moral of the story, don't be an asshole.
So sadly, the next year, her dad Felix died, which absolutely devastated her as the favorite daughter of the family. She and her dad had a really close relationship, so it was pretty rough on her.
Yeah.
She needed a break at this point. You know, when something like that happens, you just need to call it a day for just a little bit of time to take some time off for yourself. So at this point, she starts performing less and less.
Yeah, maybe dancing just made her think about her dad, and like, she needed time to grieve. Yeah. Let's do some major fast forwarding here, because a lot of history happens and we don't have long enough to go into each one of these historic events. So we're just going to give you the high points of the next 10 years, because it was not great for the Russian royal family and nobility.
Nope.
So there was the Russian-Japanese War, which was bad.
Bad.
There was Bloody Sunday, a peasants' peaceful protest that ended up with 200 unarmed people killed. So that was also bad. And then Russia enters World War One, and it went bad. And they had to leave World War One, and it was bad. Like, it
was just bad.
It was a bad time. But the next 10 years were just everything went wrong for Nicholas. Everything the royal family was doing, and it was just bad.
Yeah, because like the everyday person is just like pissed off at all of this situation that's going on, and you can literally feel it in the air, because things are changing in Russia. The nobility is being viewed with more and more disdain, because people are like, oh, you want to send our children off to die in wars that we're not gonna win. You're going to make us go broke while you get to live in a mansion that we pay for? And the people at this point are like, hey, that ain't right.
Mm-mm. A retired ballerina who lived in a mansion paid for by two different dukes and a czar. You know, she is getting the sense that the vibes are off, and maybe she should think about going somewhere else.
So during World War One, Matilda did fund a hospital for the wounded, which she kept open for actually a number of years with money that she had raised through charity events. But still, she's not working class, so this is a dangerous time for her.
Totally. In her memoirs, Matilda writes that in the early months of 1917, every day there was some new horror story in the newspaper that worried her. So, like, protests, buildings being set on fire, police officers being murdered in the streets. So when a friend, like, calls her up in February and is like, I think some shit is about to go down in St. Petersburg. You should come stay with me and my family out in the country. She, you know, she's got a young son to look. I mean, I guess he's like 12 at this point or something. And she's like, yeah, maybe me and Vova should hightail it out to the country and stay with y'all until this all blows over.
Yeah.
So narrator voice,
it did not blow over.
No, it did not. So we are not going to do a deep dive into the Russian Revolution here. Because you could listen to that on our Alexander Fyodorovna episode if you want to revisit that dumpster fire.
Or any number of podcasts completely dedicated to the Russian Revolution.
Yeah, right. But what you really need to know is that the Bolsheviks are a communist political group, and they're pissed and not afraid to spill some blood over it, specifically that blue blood.
Oop.
They hated basically anyone that had a title, and especially anyone with the name Romanov.
Right. After she left, the Bolsheviks actually took her house and made it a meeting place. I want to say Vladimir Lenin did like a speech to the Bolsheviks, like a famous speech to the Bolsheviks in her front yard. So she hears that they are just ransacking her house. They're wearing her furs. They're wearing her diamonds. But what really upset her is that they burned all her letters from Nikki, all her pictures with Nikki, and all the evidence, basically anything, any physical evidence that existed of their relationship.
Shit is getting scurry.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the nobility and anti-revolutionists were like, hey, we should GTFO out of Russia. And Matilda was like, you know what? I've actually always wanted to live in France.
Oh!
Imagine that. And you know what? That seems like a good place for us to take a break.
Take a break. En français?
En français.
And we're back. And the year is 1920. And Matilda, her son Vova, her lover Andre, and his mother Marie have been living in exile out of St. Petersburg in this... They moved around kind of a lot as it got worse and worse for the Russian nobility, but now they're like living in this port town in bumfuck nowhere of Russia, basically waiting for a boat, waiting to be rescued by either the French or the Italians or the English. Whoever was sending a boat, they were just waiting to get on it. Kind of sad though. They did have chances to leave earlier, but Andre's mom kept being like, no, 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 we're going to be able to go home soon. She was in denial about the whole situation.
So a lot happened since she left St. Petersburg. First, Nicholas abdicated and the monarchy was completely dissolved. And sadly, at this time, her other boo thing, Sergei, ended up dying. So this is tragedy, tragedy, tragedy.
Yeah.
And he had told Matilda, basically, hey, I'm not leaving St. Petersburg. I'm not leaving Russia. You know, this is all gonna blow over. Until it didn't blow
until
over.
It did not blow over. On July 18th, 1918, Nicholas and his entire family were assassinated.
Oof.
Then the following day, Sergei, who had been, I believe, being kept by the Bolsheviks in a labor camp, him, along with four of his Romanov cousins, were all assassinated as well. Like, they are just trying to wipe out the entire Romanov family.
Romanov with their heads.
Romanov with their heads! Oh!
So the sad thing is, it took Sergei's letters months to get to Matilda and Vova, who thought that this was his father.
Yeah.
So they're receiving postcards and letters from him months after his death. I mean, they would have gotten news of the assassination on the radio, but they weren't convinced because they're still getting postcards and letters from him in the mail. So, I mean, I get it. I get why they would have been
confused.
You're like,
what do I believe? Like, first of all, there's just denial that no, that couldn't have possibly happened. But then also, like, they could be just saying they killed everybody, you know? Like, yeah, that's sad. So the boat couldn't come soon enough. And when a boat pulled into the port on February 13th, 1920, so like Matilda, her son, Andre, and Andre's mom got on that fucking boat. I think they basically had to pull Andre's mom onto the boat, kicking and screaming, because her oldest son would have been next in line to be czar. So she was like, we gotta stay here. So that my son can, they're like, that ship has sailed. Let's get on this other ship so it can sail.
Oh, yeah, right?
The trip out of Russia was hectic as hell. It's long. They made a whole bunch of stops. I think they stopped in like Constantinople and Italy and all these places. It was crowded. They couldn't bathe. It took like a month to get to France. It was, it sounds stressful.
Yeah, but after a month of traveling, finally arrive in France.
Bonjour.
Yeah, bonjour. During World War I, the Tsar had ordered all Romanovs to sell their international personal property. So Andre had bought a villa in a French seaside under Matilda's name.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Really sneaky. But that's where they ended up living now. But they probably never envisioned it to actually be her primary residence.
Right.
So now she's having to share cramped living quarters with her traumatized teenage son, her lover, her lover's overbearing mother, who does not approve of Matilda, but is like, okay, bitch, you want to live in a villa or what? You want to get back on the boat and go home and get killed?
You want to get killed? You want to live in the ocean? Then that's what I thought.
That's what I thought.
It's technically my villa since it's in her name. And they're not married. So if she wanted to kick Andre and his mom out, she legally could, you know?
She could have.
It was cramped, but it was safe. No one is hunting them down trying to kill them, you know? And there was a huge influx of people moving from Russia to France at this time. Fun fact, the phrase or the name of the drink, White Russian, comes from this time, the anti-Bolsheviks Russians, because they carried a white flag. Like, the Bolsheviks were red. The people who were like, hey, let's not kill everybody, were the white Russians. So, So cheers!
Cheers? Question mark? So arriving in France, they were basically penniless, which isn't something a Grand Duke is particularly used and equipped to dealing with.
Right.
But there were a lot of other exiled Russians in and around their town, some which had already been there for about 2 years. So everyone kind of pitched in and helped each other out and built a community.
And then a few months later, Andre's mom died. I don't think of anything traumatic or anything. I think she was kind of old. But her name was Marie of Mecklenburg-Schwerin, and she's really interesting, but we don't have time to go into that. All you need to know is she is now dead, and there's one less person in their cramped villa.
But that means that Andre feels like he can marry Matilda without being judged by his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So not exactly the romantic proposal that we're looking for.
I love you so much, and mom is dead. Will you marry me?
Yeah, right? And then the two get married in a Russian Orthodox church called the Church of St. Michael the Archangel in Caen, France.
Yes, this church is beautiful. I will definitely put it up on. I love Russian architecture, though.
I know, that's why I want to visit Russia, but they are so homophobic.
It's so over the top, and it's so ridiculous, and I love it. And this church is beautiful. After this, Matilda got to use the title princess. Like we said, Andre's brother is now officially the head of the Romanov family. He's not living in Russia because he didn't get killed. He didn't want to get killed. So he's like, I don't know, maybe he's in Italy. I can't really remember. He had to give her the permission to use the title princess now, which seems pretty useless at this point.
Yeah.
But whatever makes you feel fancy, girl. Like, all right. And her son was given the last name Romanov because he had never officially got to be called a Romanov before. But now he is.
Don't go to Russia because Romanov with your head.
Romanov with your head. That is so good. That is so clever, Nathan.
So, side note, there are all kinds of rumors that Matilda's son was actually Nicholas's, or that she had a secret baby with Nikki that she adopted out, but we're not buying it.
We know she had no qualms with calling in favors to the royal family. I feel like if she had had a child with Nicholas, she would have been loud and proud about that shit.
Exactly. So, eventually, money got real tight, so they sold the villa and moved to Paris, where Matilda opened up a dance studio, which, perfect.
Yes, what a good job for her.
I know. She had over 100 students, and her school was regarded as a very prestigious place to study ballet.
And that was her life. For, you know, they did have some financial troubles because, coming from their background, they had never taken any money management classes. They never knew about it. So they did have financial struggles, but they were together for the rest of their lives. When she was in her 60s, Matilda was invited to go to this charity event in London and do like this charity dance. And it raised lots and lots of money. It was a huge success. She chose to do this Russian style dance that she hadn't done since her time in St. Petersburg. And it raised a lot of great money for charity. And she actually chose that specific dance because it was the last thing that she danced on a night when Nicholas came to see her at the ballet before he abdicated. So it was the last time he had seen her. And so she's like, I'm going to do the dance that was the last thing Nicholas saw me doing. So she was, to the last minute, very, very sentimental about their relationship.
Last dance tonight.
Yes.
So she sang Last Dance.
And she sang Last Dance. And did her Grand Prix.
Did you say Grand Prix?
Prius. It's like a Prius. Prius. It's a Prius. It's a plie. I don't know.
However, Matilda did live a very long life. And she ended up passing away on December 6th of 1971. So she would have been aged 99.
Which is something not a lot of people. There's a lot of people that lived in Russia and from her time whose lives were cut very short. So considering everything, actually considering nothing, that's just a long life, period, statement, declared sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is the wild life of Matilda Szczesinska. So
that is such a cool story.
Hope you guys enjoyed that.
Nathan, merci for coming on this journey with me.
De rien.
Ooh.
Said you're welcome.
All right, French class
that paid off.
Mm-hmm. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Catch y'all later.
Bye, guys.
Cheers, bitches.